This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Lawyers for Jeffrey Epstein's former companion, Ghislaine Maxwell, say they do not want the DOJ to win in its push for the release of grand jury transcripts, even as the Trump administration is now considering publicly releasing transcripts from last month's interview between Maxwell and the DOJ. Attorneys say they respectfully oppose the release. President Trump today voiced support for his deputy attorney general who interviewed Maxwell behind bars.
Todd Blanche is one of the most highly respected people you'll ever meet. So I know this. I didn't discuss it with him, but anything he talked about with her or the fact that he did that, not unusual, number one, and most importantly, is something that would be totally above board.
Dozens gathered this evening at a funeral service for famed wrestler Hulk Hogan, who died July 24th at 71. The private service was held at the same church where Hogan, whose real name was Terry Bollea, was baptized in 2023. He died after suffering a heart attack at his Florida home. This is ABC News. The miracle on Oak Island. Pilot Mark Finkelstein was flying a small plane off the coast of North Carolina Saturday when he says he lost power and crashed.
There wasn't time to be afraid. Once it stopped, I just said, okay, I'm really going to be doing a water landing. You know, there's no alternative at this point.
The plane hit the water and flipped over. Rescuers rushed to the scene, but Finkelstein walked away with just a cut. The NCAA has decided not to expand the men's and women's basketball tournaments beyond 68 teams in 2026. Discussions about possibly expanding to 72 or 76 teams for the 2027 tournament remain ongoing. A guitar played by two Rolling Stones members is at the center of a dispute between Mick Taylor and New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art. The 1959 Gibson Les Paul was donated to the Met as part of a collection. Taylor claims it was stolen from a French villa during a recording of Exile on Main Street in 1971. The Met denies that claim, pointing to provenance records that don't show Taylor ever owning the Les Paul. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I guarantee you there's a market for people who want to watch a middle-aged guy change his clothes, do his dishes. People are so bored and will look at anything. So what I thought could be fun, and Conrad, I need your okay on this. I would never, you know, volunteer you for this, but you and I should both set up OnlyFans page and see who gets more followers.
I'm okay on that. I don't think
he's blushing.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rainy night in Georgia. The Brewers and the Braves playing in the mist. Top of the fourth, two men on, and the Brewers' Isaac Collins at the plate. FanDuel, Wisconsin.
Well, it's 3-2 on Collins. See if they send Yelich. He goes, and a swing and a drive to right field. This is hit a ton. It is gone for Collins. A three-run shot. The Brewers have the lead. Seventh home run of the year for Isaac Collins.
How about this kid, Isaac Collins?
The Brewers held on to win 3-1. Their fourth win in a row, thanks to some great base running. Pat Murphy.
I still chalk it up to we base run. You know what I mean? William taking off 3-2 there. The threat of Yelly sealing there 3-2. Maybe it changed the pitch that they threw Collins. Who knows? But credit to Isaac. You know, he put a great swing on a pitch.
NFL, the Packers' new starting defensive back, Nate Hobbs, out for at least the next 3 weeks after having knee surgery. The team hoping to have him back for the season opener against the Lions. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actor Jonathan Joss was fatally shot outside his home after a fight with a neighbor in early June. Joss had played John Redcorn on King of the Hill since 1996 after the original voice actor who played Redcorn passed away. Redcorn was honored during the season 14 finale of the show Monday night. Zigfredo Alvarez was charged with first-degree murder after the shooting but was later released on a $200,000 bond. San Antonio police initially said the murder of Joss, who was gay, had nothing to do with his sexuality, but have since walked that back, saying that they spoke too soon, and the investigation is ongoing. San Antonio Police Chief William McManus recently expressed sympathy to the San Antonio LGBTQ plus community over the loss of Joss and says the department is committed to pursuing every lead in the tragic case. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, warm and muggy, low 60 to the low 60s. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, a few showers and storms around. Highs climb to the mid-80s. Storm chances continue Wednesday night, diminishing as we look on into Thursday. Right now, it's 80.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome into the studio Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnett and Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter Deandra Marie performs live. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we have our friend Bob Blake, CEO of Solar Bear, and great to see you, Bob, and you know, a lot going on, and he's showing the logo there. He's got a shirt ready for me, I think. Good to see you, Bob. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Robert. Good to be here. How's everything going?
It's going pretty good. We're getting close to the fair, and, we'll be out at the State Fair at the Native Roots Trading Post, and come on down and see us. So we're revving up for that, but it's great to see you. And a lot of things going on in Indian country and also with Solar Bear with the Solar News. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, that's exciting. We've got the Minnesota State Fair coming up. We also have the Vikings have their first preseason game this weekend.
Yeah, and I see the young ones going to start, so that's a good sign.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some positive stuff happening out there, exciting stuff. Not all the doom and gloom coming out of, Robert.
Yeah. I do know, and I have a question for you, too. This came up about a week ago, and one of our communities, Native communities up north that has a solar and wanted to hook up to the mainframe or however you do that, the company wanted to cut them off. Do you have any update on that? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was a really, really interesting situation. And what happened essentially was, I think we're talking about what happened down in down here in Upper Sioux, and then the PUC had made a Public Utilities Commission had made a comment about that because the situation got brought to them, and you know they essentially said the utility was acting out of bounds and, can't do that essentially. Right. And so I thought that this was wonderful because it really did. It sets kind of a precedence now. If tribal nations want to, build renewable energy projects in their community, and they want to interconnect it to the grid, you know, there should be no problem with that now.
Right.
But they really got scolded for it. The utility got really got scolded for it. And there were different folks from the tribal, how do you say, tribal energy community who were at this meeting and gave some wonderful statements in support of these of this tribal nation that wanted to interconnect this solar project. And I just read some of the statements and stuff like that, and it just sounded like they all did just such a great job.
Well, so is it a company that's going, hold on there a minute, you know, we like, you know, charging you for your casino or for your, and we don't want to lose your money. So in that, we're just going to come up with a fake law that we can't let you hook up your solar, your panels. Yeah,
exactly. And that's really it. Like, it's really the, you know, the, how do you say, the co-ops who kind of make up the rules as they go. A couple of the public utilities commissioners were like, no, you can't just do that. That's wrong. Yeah. But we know in tribal country that this has been happening for years. This is how it works out. This is how it plays out. And it's only now, Robert, that we've got this technology where we can do this. It really is changing the game. It's making the fossil fuel cabal very scared.
Yeah.
Because electric vehicles and renewable energy, solar, are as what they advertised, cheaper solutions, cleaner solutions, and are better for the planet and better for communities all around. And what I feel very proud of is that tribal nations specifically have been leading this work and been leading this fight, and it's spread throughout the country now. And, you know, I'll just say it's all across the world now. But, you know, this is, I believe, the way that we need to move. And it just seems to me that the fossil fuel industry and whatnot, you know, yeah, you're going to be able to talk to this president right now in this administration to stop these projects and to stop what we're doing right now. But, you know, it's only a matter of time. You can't stop progress. You can't stop, you know, moving forward. And the last thing that we want to do, Robert, is that this is our future. This is our kids' futures. And the last thing that you do, Robert, is you don't give up on your future.
Yeah.
And so, you know, renewable energy, you know, all this is here to stay, and it's going to keep moving forward.
Well, and we know too, all the other countries now are moving ahead of us right now. I know if we ever get rid of the Orange Man and MAGA, we can jump back into it and catch up, I'm sure, with native ingenuity. But right now, other countries are leapfrogging over us and, you know, laughing at us in a lot of ways. So what do we do? Do we just keep moving forward and, talk about a little strategy there, Bob?
Yeah. You know, we've got to get, big money out of politics. We've got to get rid of Citizens United. That is like one place we got to start. And the other part is that we need to get out and vote. We need to talk to our neighbors. I really understand, the maddeningness of the two-party system. I totally get it. But really, there is a lesser evil.
Yeah.
There really is a lesser evil, everyone.
Well, one's for businesses and the 1%, and the other is supposedly for small people and people that are struggling and to help them. So I think, too, one of the things that we need to talk about and keep talking about is not only there's a lot of groups that do a great job of registering people, but we got to take people to the polls, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone, if no matter what, I mean, if you can drive someone, if you can pick up your neighbor or you know, give someone a ride, a lift to go and vote, it's the whole thing about, Robert, what's good for you is good for me, right? Utilitarianism, you know what I mean? And right. And somehow, I'm not making a blank statement here, but it seems as though that we lost that. And we really, really got to get back to that what's good for you is good for me. It's good, for, you know, what's good for society is ultimately going to be good for all of us. And we really got to bring that back, that kind of frame of mind of thinking. But I tell you, there is so many things that I think we have to do before this next election.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're here with Robert Blake from the Solar Bear with the Solar News. And, hey, we're going to be right back and take a short break. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wah.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. The Minnesota State Fair is more than food on a stick. It's a chance to celebrate Native culture and voices. On August 25th, hear the Red Lake Singers and Amizaska Drum Group during Mental Health Awareness at Dam Patch Park. On August 27th, meet Native authors like Roxanne B2B Nokwe Gold and Stacy Lola Drewyard, and visit the Common Table and learn how Indigenous foodways are shaping Minnesota's future. Get your State Fair tickets now at mnstatefair.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As a teacher, having a foster grandparent in my room, it enables me to have an extra set of hands.
Foster grandparents are role models, tutors, and friends to children with exceptional needs.
It's been fantastic having Grandma Freddie in our room.
It is the best feeling in the world.
I'm a bad student because of her.
To learn more about how to become a foster grandparent and help children in need, call 1-800-942-2677 or visit seniorcorps@nationalservice.gov.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, I'm Robert Pilot, and we're here with Robert Blake, and I was with the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we've been just kind of talking a little mellow politics and what's going on here. And you know, we've been the experts at resisting for 500 years, Robert, and I appreciate you coming on and speaking your truth as always. Welcome.
Yeah, Robert, I'm telling you, the bankruptcy bill, I'm not calling it the big, beautiful bill. I'm calling it the bankruptcy bill.
Yeah, no doubt.
The bankruptcy bill is really, there were 28 billion, Robert, in investments, $28 billion in investments made in almost 20,000 jobs that are going to be canceled now, Robert, because of the bankruptcy bill and because of the choices of this administration around clean energy manufacturing jobs, okay? And did you know that 80% of these manufacturing jobs are in Republican-led districts?
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
So this means that 80% of all of this new investments were going to be are were being made in Republican districts that were going to give good jobs, good paying jobs. And now because of the bankruptcy bill and, of course, the choices of this administration, this is not going to happen. But we were just talking, we were just finishing that last segment, Robert, and, you know, this really does come down to fundamental economics, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just policy, but transitions are noisy and nonlinear. Stalls in one market are offset by surge elsewhere. The global momentum is undeniable. That the rest of the world is moving forward with renewable energy projects. The investments that I'm seeing coming out of Australia are incredible. Europe is doubling, tripling down. China is dominating the renewable energy market. You know, all across Africa, renewables are going up. The really sad thing here is that we in America are falling behind because, you know, this administration feels like it's more necessary to invest in something to a technology that is in the past and not something that is about the future. And it's clearly being shown right now who this administration is paying.
Yeah, it's just filling the pockets of the 1%. You know, he promised, the orange one promised all these coal mines and everything, and that's not even happened, you know? So all these people that are dug in deep and think that he's the best thing since sliced bread, that he's going to do things, he's going to lower prices on day one, end a war, and do all these things. He is just setting up for we are a fascist state. We're pretty much China right now, and we need to be aware of that too, the way you know, ICE is taking people off the streets, all these things, Robert, that the country and really has to recover if it can.
Yes, I mean it. You are absolutely right, Robert. You know, there is the old saying, you know, when you have a social problem, you need a social movement. You know, and that is exactly what needs to happen. We're going to have to take it to the streets. We're going to have to start protesting. We're going to have to start marching. We are on the verge of, you know, a recession. Okay.
Great.
We have never experienced this before, but is a depression, you know, on the onset? I just saw a thing that said people are not going to Las Vegas anymore.
Yeah.
Spend money in Las Vegas. And that is, for this country, usually the canary in the coal mine that something is bad economically. And let's not forget, Robert, that the jobs person who gives us the skinny, who gives us the truth and tells us what's happening, just got fired.
Right.
So everyone, here is a guy who has got multiple bankruptcies in his life with multiple companies and just thought it was really good to fire the person that's actually giving him the real data. So do we see a pattern here?
Yeah. Well, it's fascism. It really is. But he has his supporters. I mean, if we had our representatives that are Republican in the state federally, if they voted against Trump, we'd be okay. But they're spineless too, and they're all in lockstep with Trump. It's ridiculous. And hopefully we're going to have an election, and hopefully it'll be a legitimate election that we can get rid of these guys.
And I tell you this, Robert, you know, it's the original sin, man. You know, it's this country's original sins that, you know, that are coming back to haunt us. We're doing a lot of this, you know, we're making these decisions over racism. I mean, I don't know. I saw this other thing that said, I don't remember a good decision ever being made over hate.
Yeah.
You know, hate has never made a good decision. And so, you know, we are in that right now where, you know, Robert, this may come to a much deeper, you know, self-analysis of us is a lot of this because is it capitalism run amok? Is it social media? Are smartphones making us dumber? I mean, I'm sorry, but I think there needs to be some self-reflection here because this is not the country that I grew up in. These are not the values that I was told to stand for. I mean, this is just not the way things are supposed to be. This feels like bizarro world, honestly, Robert.
Yeah, it does. I really feel though that, you know, I think these people have been lurking in the corners all this time, and the orange one has given them the thumbs up to be as racist and off-putting. It's a big money grab, and people that are supporting this think that someday that they could be a billionaire or that they're part of it. And really, they're going to be hit and destroyed just like everybody else, and it may be too late for them to recover because, as you were saying, we're heading towards a recession.
And not only that, Robert, I think someone gave the orange one in his administration the real news saying, hey, listen, climate change is here. There is no stopping this train wreck. And you know, get what you can while you can do it. And, you know, that's one of the pieces that I'm scared about or I'm nervous about.
They want to put a nuclear plant up on the moon, and, you know, Elon's giving them $5 million. So they're made up again, they're buddies again. And, it's just ridiculousness like this and, really narcissist, crazy people that are now running the country and the people are supporting them. You know, the 35% that's always going to support them are supporting them.
And the other part is too, Robert, is like you said, you know, run for office, start a business, start a nonprofit, get more educated. You know, with all of this education that we have in this country, there is no need for our for the constituency to be voting in this direction with all the ability to make us smarter. There's no need for us to be voting in this way.
Well, all I have to say is my big words will be, let's make racists afraid again, and let's put them back in the shadows, and let's get back to work. And Bob, I know you're still working on solar projects all over Turtle Island, and you're still doing your thing. We're still here on Native Roots Radio until, I guess, they hand out our ballots and information, and then they can come find us that voted against Trump. But the states are holding out on that. Hey, and it's interesting, too. We're going to have Arvina Martin on up next, and she does Emerge Wisconsin, and she works with women and people that are running for office in Wisconsin. So it's always good to have Arvina on and talk positively about what's going on. And she's up next. So I really appreciate you stopping in today. And, you know, you're doing it. And I just want to say a big peeny gigi, thank you so much, you know, for all the work that you're doing for our community and via solar, but also all the other things that you do too, that I know you don't like to talk about, but you're an awesome dude. And you know, you're an actor too. Now I want to be your stand-in. I want to be your stand-in when, you need a, you know, just so they don't hurt me, but.
Oh, well, I just want to say, Robert, thank you for having me, Miigwech. I mean, this is really awesome. That's the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we need you now more than ever because obviously PBS has gone defunct. So we need independent thought, you know, newsmakers out here like you, Robert, doing what we're doing. So, Miigwech.
Wow, really appreciate it. See you next week and keep up the great work. Thank you so much, Bob Blake. Up next, Arvina Martin. Ho-wah.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Lawyers for Jeffrey Epstein's former companion, Ghislaine Maxwell, say they do not want the DOJ to win in its push for the release of grand jury transcripts, even as the Trump administration is now considering publicly releasing transcripts from last month's interview between Maxwell and the DOJ. Attorneys say they respectfully oppose the release. President Trump today voiced support for his deputy attorney general who interviewed Maxwell behind bars.
Todd Blanche is one of the most highly respected people you'll ever meet. So I know this. I didn't discuss it with him, but anything he talked about with her or the fact that he did that, not unusual, number one, and most importantly, is something that would be totally above board.
Dozens gathered this evening at a funeral service for famed wrestler Hulk Hogan, who died July 24th at 71. The private service was held at the same church where Hogan, whose real name was Terry Bollea, was baptized in 2023. He died after suffering a heart attack at his Florida home. This is ABC News.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rainy night in Georgia. The Brewers and the Braves playing in the mist. Top of the fourth, two men on. And the Brewers' Isaac Collins at the plate. FanDuel Wisconsin.
Well, it's 3-2 on Collins. See if they send Yelich. He goes. And a swing and a drive to right field. This has hit a ton. It is gone for Collins. A three-run shot. The Brewers have the lead. Seventh home run of the year for Isaac Collins.
How about this kid, Isaac Collins?
The Brewers held on to win 3-1. Their fourth win in a row, thanks to some great base running. Pat Murphy.
I still chalk it up to we base run, you know what I mean? William taking off 3-2 there. The threat of Yelly sealing there 3-2. Maybe it changed the pitch that they threw Collins. Who knows? But credit to Isaac. You know, he put a great swing on a pitch.
NFL, the Packers' new starting defensive back, Nate Hobbs, out for at least the next 3 weeks after having knee surgery. The team hoping to have him back for the season opener against the Lions. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How much is Leo DiCaprio worth? In the neighborhood of $30 to $50 million, according to Warner Brothers and Michael Mann. Mann has a finished script for Heat 2, his follow-up to his 1995 film Heat. Attached so far are actors Austin Butler and Adam Driver. Mann's ideal budget is $200 million, which Warner Brothers balked at. Mann did a revised budget for $170 million, and Warner's told him they would like it to be even less expensive. Mann's solution, according to Hollywood Insider, is to sign Leonardo DiCaprio in hopes that it will get Warners to sign off on a higher budget. The original film was a hit and starred Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Val Kilmer, and Ashley Judd. The sequel will focus on tracking down Val Kilmer's character, who escaped in the first Heat. The film is not quite a lock to get made and is currently in the very early stages of pre-production. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, warm and muggy, low 60 to the low 60s. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, a few showers and storms around. Highs climb to the mid-80s. Storm chances continue Wednesday night, diminishing as we look on into Thursday. Right now, it's 80.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Are you a little frustrated with how voting is going in Wisconsin? Well, tomorrow we'll talk about a possible solution called fusion voting. Join us live on location from La Crosse for Leader Ethics of Fusion Voting.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and we are with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. Thank you so much for coming on. Again, it's another week of, you know, these weeks feel like months and years of the upside down world. Where do we start? And thank you for coming on, Arvina.
Oh, my goodness. I got to about 3 p.m. today and realized it was only Tuesday. Oh, wow. So, yeah. Yeah, it's done. But also thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, we talked a little bit, and what I'd like to jump in before we get into things is we have a Ho-Chunk word of the day. Do you remember the word of the day?
Yes, I actually had it pulled up and then lost it. Hang on a sec. It is okay. Wrong one. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. Kirihunuk. And that means like a kind of independence or that something has been earned for oneself.
Say that again. Which?
Kirihuruk.
Kirihuruk?
Kirihuruk.
Kirihuruk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So that's our word of the day with Arvina Martin, a Ho-Chunk word. Yeah. And we love doing that and bringing culture to everybody all over Turtle Island. Hey, so I have to jump into this. We'll talk a little bit about Emerge. Again, love talking about your work, but what is going on? I mean, really, with this Epstein, now they want Clinton's. I mean, and thank goodness the Texas Democrats have some backbone.
Yeah, I may have cheered when I heard the news this weekend about Texas Democrats leaving the state and preventing the special session to continue. They're normally not meeting at this time, the Texas State Legislature, and this was supposed to be a special session to talk about the damage from the floods that affected Texas earlier this summer. It was a major issue that happened where there were lives lost. Yeah. And it turns out that maybe some of the communities were not using all of the tools available to them in order to warn people in advance, no sirens, and folks that were, at all levels of government that were not, even around when the floods happened, and were not able to start a response immediately, leading to more devastation. That was what they're supposed to be talking about in this special session. Instead, they're taking up Trump's mantle and trying to redistrict their congressional districts in the middle of a decade, which I have looked up. I cannot find another example. If somebody else finds another example, please let me know, of a legislature trying to redistrict in the middle of a decade. These redistrictings happen after the census happens at the beginning of each new decade. And then congressional lines and all legislative lines are redrawn based on, how many people live in what parts of that particular area. And this is obviously being done in order to stem the anticipated bleeding that Republicans are looking to face in 2026 during the midterm elections. And it's absolutely wild. And it's a very serious issue, which is why the Democrats have left, meaning that there isn't a quorum, which means that no business can be taken care of, and they are hoping to do it until this special session ends, in order to prevent these changes from taking place.
In your opinion, I feel like Wisconsin has been gerrymandered. Was that a slow process, or did it happen overnight? Kind of like what Trump saying, "I need five new seats," and that's he's not even they're not even pretending that they're not going to try and gerrymander people out of their district. Do you remember?
You know, yeah, no, this, I mean, this happened because Republicans held the majority in both houses of our legislature, the state Senate and the state assembly, as well as the governor's office. And I believe the attorney general as well, although I am not 100% sure on that. So, you know, they had all the approval and were able to just divide up the state of Wisconsin into the most forgiving and the most favorable to Republicans, you know, districts, so that their jobs would be safe. Each individual, they spent so much state money with private firms to create these, and then private law firms to defend them in state court and in, I believe, U.S. court as well. And, you know, that's kind of what happens when the Republicans have control of the government at the, you know, at the beginning of a decade.
Well, and there is some hope for Wisconsin, though. There is some realignment that's happening. It's not maybe happening as fast as I'd like it to, but we'll know in a few elections, right, if the gerrymandered's been lessened.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the case went to the Supreme Court, or the Wisconsin Supreme Court, you know, the justices decided that that it was in fact not constitutional on several grounds, and that they needed to go back to a different drawing that was considered more fair and therefore constitutional. That is absolutely going to have an effect. It already has had an effect. There has been certain, you know, there were incumbents that either didn't run or didn't retain their seats after the election last fall because the seats were no longer, or actually were competitive. And you know, half of the state Senate has yet to be tested under these new lines. So the second half of the state Senate is up for election this year. The first half was up last year, and there are a lot of incumbent Republicans whose seats are far more moderate than they've ever run before, and that is absolutely going to have an impact on things going forward. It might mean that Democrats win. Hopefully we get more Democrats elected and take out some of those very, very conservative, very right-wing state senators and other legislators. And, you know, maybe for some of the ones that retain their seat, they have to look at moderating their policy more, because their district no longer is going to support the extreme right-wing views that they have pushed over the last decade.
Oh, if only. That would be so great. Arvina, I'm old, and I remember when Wisconsin was Democrat. So this just blows my mind here as an older person. Now I'm 64 and gone through quite a few elections, and it's funny too. I think the last time Minnesota voted for a Republican president was 1972. So we've had a great break there, a record that's going to be hard to break.
Yeah, you know, and Wisconsin, you know, has been pretty purple for my entire lifetime. You know, there have been Republicans who have served as governor, Tommy Thompson being the longtime governor. Yeah. I believe he served four terms. Wow. And but the state, you know, still went Democratic in presidential years. And our electoral votes did ultimately go to the Democratic candidate up until 2016. And that race was very shocking. And, you know, it was a hard pill to swallow. And, you know, so we have a lot of people, a lot of volunteers, a lot of activists, and a lot of people that are doing this work as their actual jobs to help engage more Wisconsinites, to introduce them either to Democratic candidates, other our policies, and to really make sure that voters see the other option, and that those options are viable and that they're not just voting into the abyss because their district has been gerrymandered to be as right-wing GOP as possible. There is going to have to be an actual exchange of ideas. There is going to have to be moderation in a lot of districts. And that will, you know, even if, you know, not a lot of districts flip, that kind of shift for an elected leader, you know, means if they want to keep their job, they are going to have to moderate their views and they are going to have to veer more towards the center in order to keep their jobs.
Wow, that's a really good point. I just would love that. Well, one of the things, we only got a couple minutes left in this segment, and then I'd love to talk about what's happening with the merge. I think we in Minnesota, especially, really do, in our native community, really do a great job of registering people. We're boots on the ground, and I think we made a big difference in the 2020 election here when it came to not only the president, but the governor of Minnesota and the lieutenant governor. Those votes really made a difference. But, God, I feel like we need to not only register people, but really take them to the polls. I mean, there's something that's missing, and maybe that's the final thing where I could get a big bus and take people to the polls.
I mean, you know, you have to look and see, make sure that you are not giving something of value to somebody for voting because that violates ethics rules. But, you know, making sure people are able to access the polls, and that includes early voting. I encourage as many people to vote early as possible because you don't know what's going to happen on election day. In 2020, I found out on election day that the cold that I had was actually COVID. Wow. So, you know, my day was completely changed because I was supposed to be working and communicating with varying polling sites in Wisconsin. And I couldn't do that because I was contagious and had pre-vaccine COVID. And had I not voted early beforehand, I would not have been able to vote. And so keeping that in mind, whether it is going to some place, you know, whether it is going to, in Madison, we can go to public libraries to vote during the window. Coming to the city clerk's office sometimes is something, but making sure that people take advantage of that and make sure that they are able to get their vote counted. Maybe they can drive folks to the polls on election day if they have time.
Well, I think it's, you know, you really reminded me, we always now, Wendy and I, vote ahead of time. So you just reminded me of that. That's a really good point. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're going to take a quick break and come right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
After 20 years of service, the Metro Blue Line is ready for essential improvements. A multi-year transformation is on the way, bringing a better, smoother Blue Line experience. Renew the Blue will preserve and protect a critical piece of our infrastructure investment, helping it remain a safe, reliable, and affordable transit option for many years to come. Learn more about Renew the Blue at metrotransit.org/renew-the-blue. Metro Transit, Renew the Blue.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. Native culture is alive and thriving at the Minnesota State Fair. The Native Roots Trading Post is back at the West End Market where you can support Indigenous artists and makers. And don't miss the Native Pride dancers performing on the summit stage at the bazaar August 31st and September 1st. From music and art to food and storytelling, Native culture is everywhere at the State Fair. Tickets are just $17 through August 20th at mnstatefair.org. Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, in this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota and Wisconsin wolf population. Say no to the hunts. Oh! That's always a fun one. Hey, we're here with Arena Martin and of Emerge, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're just having our weekly chat and just going how incredibly hard we got to work in this next cycle, and we're up for it. I got to ask you one question before we talk a little bit about Emerge. Have you ever been to the Minnesota State Fair?
I haven't, but I do believe I will be there during the Minnesota State Fair as part of the August DNC meeting. I believe DNC Chair Ken Martin is having a welcoming event for us there. So,
awesome. Yeah. Well, you got to let me know what date and come on down to Native Roots Trading Post down in the West End Market. It is something to behold, the Minnesota State Fair. It's the largest state fair in the country next to Texas, and Texas goes on for 30 days. Ours is just 12 days. So it's
that just broke my brain. 30 days. Wow. Yeah.
Well, we only go on for 12, but still it's an amazing people watching crazy kind of show. There's a Native Heritage Day out there too, and a big hoop to do out there, a lot of things happening, and I know they've reached out, the fair's reached out to us, done some advertising, as you probably heard in spot. So we're trying to indigenize and get rid of those booths that say Native inspired art, and we just say that's Native stolen.
Yes. For those of you who are not watching online, I just rolled my eyes very hard at Native Inspired.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about Emerge. I know things are happening and we have, you're on a roll. Emerge Wisconsin's on a roll. You've done so good in the last couple elections. And I'm just happy that you're keeping rolling and doing this work, because it's so, so important.
Yeah, I'm really excited as well. We found out that one of our members of the class of 2025 just announced that she will be running for state assembly in Brookfield, which is in Waukesha County. She is so sharp and so involved in her community. She is a no-brainer vote if you work or if you live in Brookfield. She's incredible and she's thoughtful, and I'm really proud of her stepping up to the plate and taking her civic engagement up to another level.
That is exciting, and that's what you want to hear. I always thought too, and this is kind of off subject, because I was really into politics when I was very young, and it was always kind of started as you start as a city council, mayor, maybe senator, and then run for president, kind of that track. And I think a lot of good presidents have been governors too in the last few elections.
Yeah, there is something to be said for starting local and kind of working one's way up. If that kind of service is something that you're interested in, starting at the local level is a really good way to test how you are able to engage your constituents. More likely than not, your constituency will be a smaller group Than if you were elected at the state or at the state level, or obviously at the federal level. So you learn about engaging your constituents as an elected leader, how to kind of maintain connections, how to, you know, making sure that you know stakeholders, you know, across your district, across your community, and knowing who to work with. And that kind of knowledge is really valuable. And is really helpful to somebody who is ultimately seeking higher office.
How did you start on this trek? Were you always like interested in politics, or did people say you should run, or how did that work out? And I got to remind our audience that doesn't know that you were first a Native American city council member in Madison, Wisconsin. I know you guys call it something else, something really weird, but
Common Council. Yeah. Yes. But city council works. Yeah. You know, I was always kind of interested in politics. My dad did a lot of work. He was an advisor to our former governor, who I mentioned, who's actually a Republican, Tommy Thompson. So, you know, I grew up with that kind of service being, you know, that was what I saw every day. In 1984, actually, I was with my dad. He was interviewing Jesse Jackson for a local paper here in Madison, for our community. And we got to do a photo op, and I was the small child that was with Jesse Jackson in Madison when he was running for president. And the next day I got chicken pox, and they were very scared that I gave Jesse Jackson chicken pox. and apparently I used to listen to the recording of my dad interviewing Jesse Jackson like all the time. So I would just sit and listen to that and was very entertained. So I've been this kind of nerd from an early age. And, you know, my mother served as a legislator for the Ho-Chunk Nation as well. Huh? So I saw service from that kind of perspective as well. And it just was something that kind of became ingrained in me. And I didn't necessarily think that would be the route I would take. But that's somehow the way I got to where I am and started working in politics in 2011. And the recall happened when we recalled Scott Walker. And it was kind of all hands on deck. And that's where I've been ever since, is in that space.
Yeah, there was a couple of experiences I had with Wisconsin. And do you remember when they were doing the mounds thing and the vote at the Capitol, and all the Ho-Chunks showed up, and it was a very, very cold day, and Ho-Chunk Nation fed us, and the pizzas were cold because it was like 30 below out, and we marched around into the rotunda. It was very exciting. I got to say one thing about Tommy Thompson. To my understanding, and it's very limited, but I was, as you know, a former legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation too. He did a lot of good for the nation. There was a lot of action that happened while he was governor that helped Ho-Chunk Nation out that he supported. So that was when I think politics were more friendly and people just trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, I think it was less sides at the time, And Tommy was governor during the spearfishing crisis in the 80s, went through that. I just remember my dad being on the road and having to go up there a lot, and being, you know, us being kind of worried for his safety as well, because there was occasional violence, So I mean, that's the kind of thing that I saw growing up. And that was the example set for me by both my parents, was to give back.
So we got a minute left. I want to give a big push about Emerge and how people can find out more about it, how to join and how to support you. So you got a minute and you're on. Now.
Yeah. WI.EmergeAmerica.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, Melissa Baldoff has our climate check, along with a guest from Wisconsin Conservation Voters on President Trump's denial of basic science.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Some Texas Democrats who fled the state to stop GOP leaders from moving forward with redistricting have landed in Massachusetts. Governor Maura Healey welcomed Democratic Texas State Senator Carol Alvarado.
We are welcoming and are proud to welcome members of the Texas State Legislature.
More than 50 Texas Democrats left to deny Republicans in Austin a quorum necessary to vote on a redistricting plan championed by the president, which would create five new GOP seats to help the party keep control of the House in the midterms. Jasveen Sanga, charged with selling Matthew Perry the dose of ketamine that killed him, is headed for trial. It is now set to begin September 23rd after an order today from a Los Angeles federal judge. Prosecutors say she was known as the ketamine queen and is charged with five counts of ketamine distribution, including one count of distribution resulting in death. She has pleaded not guilty and has been held in federal custody since her arrest last year. This is ABC News.